From the Madison Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny this afternoon, high of 61, clear and not as cold tonight, down to 35. Tuesday, sunny and 64, Wednesday, 68, 71 on Thursday. Friday, there's a slight chance of rain. We're back into the 60s for the highs. We're only at 45 degrees in Roseburg now. KQEN news time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Taking a break from candidate interviews. We've got more of those coming later in the week, but we're going to talk about the Glide revitalization efforts, dealing with the impacts of the Archie Creek fire and some of the other fires that have hit the area. Carmen Mornerich from Glide Revitalization, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And on the phone with us, Abby Malik up in Glide as well. Abby, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
So, Abby, first of all, let's start with you. At the front end of everything, we had Glide Revitalization, which had already been around for a period of time. And then kind of real quickly, you brought up Glide Strong, and I understand you've kind of merged in now as part of one sort of united group.
Yeah, Glide Revitalization is already an established nonprofit in the area for several years and pretty organized. And I've been working with Allison so closely from the beginning, it was just natural to merge. I think Glide Strong was more the idea and the momentum, and Glide Revitalization is more of an execution of that idea.
Obviously, Karma,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and Karma, there's going to be a lot of different things as we move forward, but right after the fire, there was a big need for donations, food, clothing, things like that. Just almost immediately, things began pouring in there in Glide. Where does all that stand now?
Right. So we actually had that donation center open for over a month for folks that had lost their homes or had been displaced from their homes, evacuated for some period of time. And then we got to see the need as going more away from the need for donations and more toward the need for long-term recovery. So what we've done is we have taken some of those donation items and we've re-gifted them to local nonprofits like the low-cost vet clinic. We gave a bunch of pet food to, and then diapers and some baby items we've split up between organizations like Battered Persons Advocacy and Family Development Center. And then some of the donated items we've actually put in storage to use for folks that maybe will eventually get to rebuild their home. Our storage capacity is very limited at this point, and so we're not accepting those donations. We're just kind of sitting on what we have, and then as we know that there's a need, we'll distribute those as we can.
It was almost like, I don't want to say it quite like this, but it was almost like too many things almost came in.
Right. We had a ton of stuff, and we are so appreciative. Our community just really came together, and then we had some great organizations from out of the area. I know the Mid-Columbia or Mid-Willamette Valley United Way sent in a semi-load of things, and some other organizations from out of the area, and you know, it was just great to have on hand at the time. And we've been able to utilize all of those and redistribute and store what we can't use.
Abby, what's it been like to watch this process evolve over the last several weeks?
Well, it's been hectic, but it's been really cool at the same time. We've had so much support, like Karma said, from all over our community, but as well as the state too. It just kind of keeps going from one movement into another. And so, like Karma said, we've moved out of the what we called the donation center, which was essentially the old middle school gym, and we are now setting it for the long term in the middle school classroom building, which is adjacent. And we're now kind of looking forward to that long term recovery. As far as we've kind of gone through the temporary, immediate, right now, and now we're kind of moving into that long-term recovery as far as getting people cleaned up and back into homes and that sort of thing.
And with a fire and the 100-plus homes that were destroyed, numerous other buildings destroyed as well, this is different than a lot of typical disaster situations where you have the event, it happens, and then within a couple weeks, you know, people kind of go back to normal. For the folks that were impacted, who lost everything or lost many things, it's going to be a very long-term situation.
Yeah, a couple of years, possibly.
And so then you look at, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of phases to this. Karma, how do you kind of envision the way this is going to move along?
Well, we're in the process right now of helping the county secure these right of entry forms, because cleanup right now is high priority. And there's two kinds of cleanup. First is the household hazardous waste, which needs to be done by a certified FEMA or DEQ person. And then the second phase is the ash and trash piece of it, which can be done by local contractors and anybody pretty much with an excavator and a dump truck. But the household hazardous waste has to get removed first, because that has all the toxic stuff in it that cannot go into the Douglas County landfill. And we have to get permission from landowners to be able to access the property and get those things removed. So we've been working hand in hand with the county and FEMA and DEQ to get those right of entry forms signed and in. And then, you know, once we get this cleanup going, you know, housing temporary is, you know, right now a big priority. And then, you know, more semi-permanent, longer term housing. And then finally, you know, a real house for somebody to move back into is our ultimate long-term goal. And that, you know, like Abby says, could be a few years before that happens.
I know that we've still got a number of people in some of the area motels, folks who were displaced that had RVs or had access to RVs or are staying in various locations, from parks to people's driveways. But this is going to be such a long-term process. They probably don't necessarily want to be in those situations for the next 2 years until they can rebuild, for example.
Right. That's so true. And we've been trying to... We've gotten a number of donated RVs, as we've said before, and we're still trying to find locations near Glide for those folks to park those RVs on a kind of longer term basis, you know, a year or 6 months. And then, you know, we really are struggling to find affordable housing for folks to be able to live in while they, you know, figure out what they're going to do with their property and as far as rebuilding or moving in a manufactured home or whatever their plans end up being.
And Abby, one of the things I've noticed in talking to people who know some of these families is that if, you know, if they don't have an RV, they didn't have access to an RV, maybe the motel room starts to get old and they're cramped pretty quickly. And yet here at the same time, here we are in an area that has a shortage of homes before all of this, and prices going up and things like that. And if you've got to come clear into Roseburg and you're out 138, normally that changes a lot of things about your life, but it also probably increase your cost for living somewhere.
Yeah, there, like you say, there was already a shortage, you know, for rentals or even homes to buy in the area. And then this happened, and it's just even more drastic. And we have had some very generous people donate RVs. But like Carmen said, we're trying to place those. But like, and nobody wants to really necessarily have to stay, especially a family, in RV for a year, 2 years. We have had a few people contact us about some manufactured homes that they're willing to donate, besides the cost of moving and those sorts of things. And we've looked into the apartments on 138 that were just, I think they're either finished or just about finished. So we're trying to explore all of our options to see what we can do to help these people. But at the same time, we're also trying to, again, look towards building. Well, we're also working on like maybe temporary RV sites in Glide. And trying to explore our options. We had to be able to finance that and get that planned and set up. If we can get that moved forward, we can hope to put some more people back in Glide there in the meantime.
So, Abby, are there any folks who have moved back in an RV to their existing property that where their home was burned?
You know, I'm sure there are some people who have trailers up there. I don't know if they're able to stay up there on a night after night basis. I know there were a lot of septics that were damaged. There's also a lot of issues right now with soil stability, and especially we've had a couple of rains and there's going to be more coming. So some of these places might be in danger of slides and that sort of thing. So I'm not sure how many people, I don't think there's a lot of people that are probably permanently staying in RVs at their property at the moment, but there could be some.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Parma Mornarich and Abby Malik with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Back to candidate interviews tomorrow. We'll start to talk to the incumbent state treasurer, Tobias Reed. Second part of that, we talked to his opponent on Friday. So Tobias Reed tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Karma Mornarich and Abby Malik from Glide Revitalization on this afternoon, talking about everything going on up there. Along with all of you that are volunteers, there are folks, of course, from FEMA that have come as well. We had one group and then another group talk about what they've been doing.
Sure. So FEMA has been just on the ground since the very beginning, and they've been there to take people's claims and get those processed. And I think some of our folks in Glide have been able to get their some dollars already paid out to them. And FEMA will continue, I think, to be on the ground in Glide for a number of months moving forward to just help folks figure out their process and work through their paperwork. Because, you know, let's face it, none of us have ever done this before, really, and aren't familiar with the process. So having those folks there on site just to answer questions and help process that stuff is really helpful.
And I guess if there was going to be something we've never dealt with before, this would be the year for it.
Of course, 2020, that just seems like it won't ever end.
Abby, what do you observe with what FEMA is doing in the area?
Well, they've definitely been here and available. I think they've been here about 7 days a week. They've got signage all over our community so that people can find them fairly easily. And they've also reached out to us for their VAL program, which is voluntary agency liaison. It's something that they do as far as having a long-term recovery group in a disaster area. So they reach out and find a local nonprofit to work with, and they help them out with resources and training. They basically get the nonprofit group ready to basically case manage each of these families or households that were affected by, in our case, the fire, and manage that until they were back to their new normal, is what they call it. So we're in the process of learning about that now and working with them on moving forward with that program.
So, Karma, does that mean some things would change sort of in Glide Revitalization? It's always been a bunch of volunteers, but is there potential for more there?
Yes, that's exactly what that means. It looks like there's a pretty good potential for Glide Revitalization to now start hiring a few employees that will serve as case managers and construction liaisons and other positions to help these folks that are going through this fire recovery process and help them walk through that process and help navigate some of the red tape and complications that could present themselves.
So would these be local people, or would these be folks that have done this work elsewhere?
No, these are local. We're going to try to hire all local people, hopefully Glide residents if we can, folks that are on the ground and that understand the community, because FEMA has said that they will provide training and they'll help us through the processing. And at that point, we'll be also trying to access some state and federal grant dollars to pay for some of those positions and, be able to have those resources available to help folks through this process.
So any timeline idea about how this might work?
Well, I think in the next couple of months, we're going to be considered a FEMA VAL location, and we'll be having folks hired and moving forward as far as, you know, and we're already case managing a lot of folks, answering questions, trying to help them through whatever crisis has popped up at the time. And so we're already doing that job. And so hopefully we can be able to maybe get some federal dollars and pay some of our folks that are that have already been volunteering to do this.
So that would be kind of for an undetermined amount of time then, right?
Right. We're looking long term, like, you know, maybe even up to 5 years we'll be into this and helping folks. I don't think we'll ever be able to make any of the families whole again as far as from, you know, before the fire. But like Abby said, we can help them accomplish maybe their new normal.
Abby, I understand you've been having a lot of conversations with folks in the public office holders around the region and sometimes even showing them around the fire damaged area.
Yeah, well, first off, we've been working pretty much from the beginning with our local county government. The commissioners and their department heads formed a little kind of a focus group with us from Glide Revitalization on that group and kind of using us as a liaison to go between them and the residents so that we can help them get the information that they need so that they can best help our local residents. Because we're here, we've already been meeting and know a lot of these people. So we've had a really good relationship with them from the beginning. And in addition to that, it was mentioned a couple of times that certain counties were working hard to apply some pressure to some of their different, you know, representatives. So we kind of took it upon ourselves to do our due diligence to apply that pressure, so to speak, and contacted a few different people. We've spoken with people from DeFazio's office and Merkley's. And last week, yes, State Senator Floyd Prezanski came down and we took a drive up the river to look at the fire area.
And of course, his area east of Eugene Springfield had its own fire up there. What was his reaction to seeing the fire here?
Well, he's probably more familiar with that area, but he is pretty familiar with our river. He spent some time on it before. So, you know, like pretty much everyone's reaction being up there, it was devastating and probably hard for him to have imagined coming into it, but he appreciated the opportunity to come down and see it for himself. I think that he gave us some good feedback that I think that we've hit the ground running, and considering we've not really done disaster management before, I think we're, I guess, plowing through okay. So he's got his hands pretty full with that fire, but it sounds like we're, I guess, mucking our way through this one pretty well.
What's a normal day routine for you? I mean, you've got whatever you were doing in life before all this, but obviously putting out a lot of time and energy to help people up there.
Well, we're trying to get more and more organized all the time, which is kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say slowing down our process for helping people, but in a way it kind of is. We've been trying to move from that donation center and getting set up in more of an official office type capacity in these buildings. So we've spent part of our time doing that, a lot of reorganizing and moving around and set up, you know, basic office setup, but also still helping people when they come in, whether it's filling out those right of entry forms or applying for birth certificates or getting more information on somebody contacts us with, say, a manufactured home or a trailer, or trying to, you know, get those families who are still in motels, see what they need that we can get for them. And so basically it's just kind of working through the day with whatever comes up in those instances.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Karma, what other things should people in the community know, maybe if they want to help in some way?
Sure. So, you know, Glide Revitalization is collecting donations still, and you can do that via our website at gliderevitalization.com. And those cash donations are going to go to do a number of things. One, we're going to start, we're looking toward providing a mental health group for folks that are just still dealing with the grief and loss of going through the fire, number one, and then, you know, losing their stuff and their memories and their home. And then, so, you know, that's one thing that we're doing. We're going to also looking to set up a temporary RV location in Glide, dry lot camp for folks that do have RVs that want to get a little closer to Glide. And, you know, moving manufactured homes possibly into the Glide area. You know, all the stuff's going to help in a roundabout sort of way in getting folks from Glide, the care and the assistance that they need to move toward some kind of a recovery from the Archer Creek fire.
And if somebody wants to send you a donation, where do they send that?
Well, they can. We have a PO box that is listed on our website, and that website is gliderevitalization.com. We also have an option. You can make a donation via Square with your credit or debit card.
All right, Carmen Mordorich, Abby Malik, Glide Revitalization, 1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.